Hello, my brothers and sisters. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you to this recording. Today we're going back into our study. I believe it's number 17 of the letter Q, and that's called entitled Questions Often Asked. And we've been through quite a few questions so far, not a whole lot, but some interesting ones, huh? And finding out what the Bible, what God's Word says about this stuff. And today we're going to go back in, but begin a new question. And what we're going to talk about is hell a real place? Is hell a real place? There's a lot of people that talk, it's funny in the world today that society uses the word hell as much as they do, and in the same sentence they deny it, and it's even passed its way over into Christianity. There are many preachers in churches now that don't mention hell at all to the congregation or to the flock. Hell is not preached, and it's not spoken of in the church anymore, and that's by way of the pastors not bringing it to people's attention and reminding people that God is not only a loving and kind and merciful God that's long-suffering and tender and full of mercy and forgiveness, but He is also a just and a righteous and a holy God that's not going to excuse anybody. People think that, and they live their lives in a fantasy world that they think that that God is not going to bring them to judgment, and that God's not going to hold them accountable for their words, and He's not going to hold them accountable for their actions, and hold them accountable for denying His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But He is. And when we get on the justice side and the righteous side of talking about the Lord and what the Lord says in His Word, people don't want to hear it no more. They go into their little fantasy world or whatever kind of world it is that they go in, and they deny it. They put it over on the blind and the dark side of their mind where they can't think about it and don't think about it. And you say you can't control your mind. You can think about what you want to think about when you want to think about it, and you cannot think about things when you choose to. Because hell is something that people try to forget every day and have convinced themselves and programmed themselves not to think about it. But that doesn't make it not real, and that doesn't make it there right this very second. And the Bible says that hell is a real place. The question is hell a real place? What does the Bible say? Well, according to the scriptures, Jesus, when He was here for the 3.5 years in the body, when He was ministering and carrying out His ministry and carrying out the what the Father had instructed Him to do and what He came here for, when He was doing that, He preached on hell quite a bit. He preached on hell. I read the figures of how many times the Lord, but I've forgotten it. But the Lord, He talked about hell, and He talked about hell and destruction, and He talked about, He gave warnings more than He talked about blessings and the good things that He talked about, forgiveness and salvation and all that. The Lord talked about damnation, and He talked about hell fire. You want to know where the word was coined? Who coined the word hell fire? The Lord Jesus Christ coined it. He's the one that brought that into being. He said hell fire. And there's no other books. The thing about it is there's no other books that take the chance on talking about hell in a factual way. The Bible is the only book on planet Earth that talks about hell in a factual way as being real and describing it and giving description of it and talking about what goes on there and why it's there and who's going to go there. And it also talks about, it describes hell, the Bible does. It also says who, it tells who it was prepared for and who's going to go there. It tells that, and the Bible describes Jesus Christ's word. Jesus is the word. That he warned about hell and damnation all the time. So it's mighty peculiar that people would use that word. Seem like if it's something that you don't believe in, then, and you really think that it's not true, or there's no facts about it, then it wouldn't bother you to talk about it, or you wouldn't have any need for it to be in your vocabulary because it's not anything you're concerned about. What people aren't concerned about, they don't talk about. But there's all kinds. I just happened to look it up and see what society has to say about the word hell and what they use it for, the terminology they use it. And man, there is you couldn't fill up a notebook with all the ways that people use the word generally every day in their life throughout the world and throughout the population using the word hell. For instance, what the hell are you doing in my house? What the hell are you? Who the hell are you? Let's get the hell out of this rain. Or tell him to go to hell and never come back. I resented the hell out of it. But I met this girl and she said, hell no. Howie, what in the hell are you doing? What the hell happened to your apartment? I'm mad as hell about it. Hell, she had serious doubts he was even human. And now we run like hell. No way in hell. What the hell's that mean? I'll make his life a living hell. The accident did a hell of a job. I mean, you see what I'm talking about? People aren't ashamed, and they have fit the word hell into society and into languages. Now, I don't know if Japanese and Chinese and all them, I'm sure that they got it in theirs too somewhere, but I don't speak all that, and I didn't look it up. But I know in English, hell is incorporated throughout all English language. It scares the hell out of me, impressed the hell out of him. Have a hell of a headache. Where the hell was he? Do whatever the hell you want. All hell is about to start. Quinn was mad as hell. Hell, mister, I don't remember. Mad as hell at me. What the hell was the local mall? Well, where the hell is the local mall? I mean, everyday language, folks. For people that don't believe and don't take hell seriously, they sure use the word quite a bit, don't they? Why, your churches have stopped preaching about it. It's very rare to go and hear a preacher talk about hell in a serious manner and in a scriptural and a doctrinal manner. But we're going to talk about it, and we're going to find out what the Bible has to say about whether hell is a real place. What does the Bible say? Does the Bible say that hell is a real place? Well, we're going to go to one place, and I believe most of you Christians that are listening to this and studying with us probably know the place in the Scriptures where the Lord talked the most about, or talked the most in a consolidated way concerning hell and all the descriptions that you can pull spiritually and pull literally out of it in order to see and to understand the truth about what hell, about hell and its description and all the facts about it. And that's Luke chapter 16. And I'm going to read that for you and read part of it for you. And it's talking about two men. The Lord Jesus, a lot of people say that the Lord was reciting a parable here, but that's not true. Anytime the Lord said something about making a story or a parable or putting together a parable, he would introduce the parable as a parable. He would say, "Hear this parable," and then he would say it was a parable, and then he would tell it. And he would give the comparison of the truth and go through with it. But in this one here, there's nothing in this, in Luke chapter 16, that would lead us to believe that the Lord was given any kind of parable or any kind of comparison to a truth at all. This is a real thing in a real place with real people that happened in real history, and all the results of what the Lord tells in this portion of Scripture are still real and still happening. In Luke chapter 16, and I'll begin in verse 19, and I'm going to read to you and read what the Bible says. And then we're going to talk about it a little bit. So here we go. "There was a certain rich man," that's one of the men, "which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus," that's the second man, "which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, those words right there, the Lord spoke, is not a parable. This is two men that were actually on this earth, that actually died, that actually went into eternity, and actually ended up in another place. One of them was called a rich man, and the Lord was not making a comparison concerning. There is some truth in what the Lord described about these men as far as living sumptuously and being clothed in purple and fine linen. We can pull scriptural truth out of that and learn from it. And talking about the beggar, Lazarus, and how he was full of sores and was suffering, and how he ate the crumbs off of the rich man's table, and the dogs came and licked his sores so they'd heal. There is truth that we could pull out of that, but we're not talking about that right now. That was the condition of both men, but the bottom line of the condition of both men is no matter how they lived, they died. And they went into eternity, and both of them ended up in different places. Now, The Bible tells us in that portion of Scripture that this is around the time of Moses, and when Moses was preaching. And they had Moses to listen to and his preaching, or the prophets, that is. They have Moses and the prophets. In other words, the Bible was around when Lazarus and this rich man were on the earth. The Old Testament was around, or at least the Pentateuch was. The first five books of the Bible, well, it says the prophets also, so the Bible was around, the Old Testament Bible, for them to read and for them to see what God's will was and to talk about. Now, the Old Testament does talk about hell. The New Testament talks about hell. Hell is mentioned throughout the Scriptures. Damnation is mentioned throughout the Scriptures. In the 1900s and during the Reformation, and you're talking about all these revivals that happened, the revivals didn't happen because of people finding out how good the Lord was and finding out how, and I say that in a reverent way, but the revivals come about because of repentance and change. Because people understood that God is not only a God of love and forgiveness, but He's a God of damnation and justice. And that the thing about the Lord is, the Bible says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. When you just start getting smart, you fear God. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You ain't even started getting wise until you fear God. And it's not talking about a reverential trust, even though we do reverentially trust Him. But that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about being scared of Him. Because God has not only the words of life and the words of damnation, but He also has the power to back them up. And He does back them up. The only reason people get away with all their front and all their pride and all their chin up in the air toward the Lord and their smart aleck attitude toward the Lord is because the Lord don't reach down and slap the fire out of them right now and put a reach over and pinch them by the neck and put them right in hell. But time's coming. The Bible never hesitates to talk about that every man's going to give account and every man's going to be judged and every man's going to end up somewhere. But people don't want to hear it and they don't want to listen to it. And that's fine. That's your choice. You don't have to listen to it. Free world. No, you don't have to listen to it. But that don't mean it ain't going to happen. And just as much as these people say, well, there's no proof. Well, there ain't no proof that it isn't either. We got a book on this earth that tells you in detail about eternity. And if you ain't listening to it and you don't read it and you don't hear it and you don't listen to it or hear it, that's your choice. That's not God's fault. The Lord is giving you the book, and He's giving you the words, and He's giving you warning. Now, talking about hell and this scripture that we found, I'm going to ask some questions concerning what we just got through reading. Now, remember, this is not a parable. This is something that truly happened, that Jesus is telling about history. He's saying, listen, y'all, there was a certain rich man that was clothed in purple, and he went on and told it. And he went all the way to the point to where the rich man was in hell, in torments, and Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom, where all the saints were gathered together before Jesus rose from the dead. Now they're all in heaven at this time. So here's some questions. First one, will you die according to what the Bible says? Yes, you will. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Where will your body go according to the Scriptures? Well, the Bible said right there in Luke chapter 16 that your body's going to go back into the grave and go back to the dust where God brought it from. It said the rich man also died and was buried. But then later on in the Scripture, it says that he was in hell and lift up his eyes in hell. But his body was in the grave. Did you get that? A lot of these fakes out there think that you're going to after death ain't nothing but annihilation. You just go and poof, you burn up and you're all gone and nothing else happens. It's not what the Bible says. Where will your body go? It'll go back to the grave. Was he in hell? Yes. The Bible said that Jesus said that he lift up his eyes, being in torment, he lift up his eyes and in hell. Not around hell, not above hell, not beneath hell, in hell. Did his eyes move? Yes. His eyes did move. It said he lifted up his eyes. He could move his eyes. Did he know where he was in torments? Yes, he did. He could recognize. Said being in torments and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus bosom, he cried and said, Father Abraham, and he asked him to get him out or to go and tell somebody or to have somebody come over there to him. Did he know he was in torments? The Bible says, yes, he did. The Lord said, being in torments. And he said, come and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And by the way, they used the word torment as a plural. There was more than one torment. Could he see? Yes, he could see. Now, where was his body? His body was in the grave. He died on earth. His body went back to the grave. His soul was in hell. And look what a soul can do. A soul can see. A soul can move his eyes. A soul can recognize where he is and what he is in. He can understand that he's in torments. Could he see? Yes. The Bible says, looking up and seeing Abraham afar off. Could he read distance? Yes, he could. He saw Abraham afar off. Could he recognize others? Yes, he could. He seen Abraham and he seen Lazarus and he named them by name. Could he speak audibly? In other words, when he spoke, could people hear him? Yes. He spoke to Abraham and got an answer. Had a conversation with him. Could he feel in hell? According to what Jesus said, yes, he could. He said, I am tormented in this flame. Did he know what was surrounding him? Yes, he did. He named it. He said, flames. Could he remember things? Yes, his memory was working according to what Jesus said. He asked that his brothers could be spoken to so they wouldn't come to this place. He thought about his brothers. And when Abraham mentioned his lifetime on the earth and Lazarus' lifetime on the earth and told him that how good he had it on the earth, and now look what's going on. But now, he remembered. Yes, he did remember. You can remember in hell. Did he know his fate was decided? Yes. In his conversation with Abraham, he couldn't go get no water to cool his own tongue. He couldn't go himself to his brothers and tell them not to come to this place. He knew he was done, and he was there, and he was going to stay there. Was he separated from the saved? In other words, not like the world teaches today, that everybody's the same and everybody's this and everything's relative and it's all good. Da 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 da. Now, he was separated. He was divided from the saved and the righteous. Abraham and Lazarus was one on one side of the gulf in Abraham's bosom, or paradise is what it's called. And he was in hell, across a great gulf where nobody could cross it. He was in one place, Abraham and Lazarus was in another. Did he know he was somewhere else than before? Yes, he did. He mentioned where he was, being in torments in hell now. And he also mentioned when he was where his brothers were, back in the land of the living. And wanted Abraham to send Lazarus to go up there and tell him about this place, not to come here. Did he want his brothers there? No, he did not. Out of all the things he could have asked for, he asked to go save his brothers from coming to this place. And I guarantee you, brothers and sisters, there are people in hell this very second that are saying the same thing. Did he know what would keep his brothers from hell? Yes, he did, amazingly. In hell, you know that hearing the Word of God and submitting to the Word of God and obeying the Lord keeps you out of hell. And he knew that before he came there, because he requested the exact thing that his brothers needed in order to avoid hell. Did he admit that hell is a place? Yes, he did. He said that my brothers do not come to this place of torment. Did he know his brothers would not listen to the prophets? Yes, he did. That's why he wanted Lazarus to go from the dead and go up there and talk to his brothers, because he knew how his brothers were, and he remembered that they were Christ-denying, righteous, smart-aleck, God-hating reprobates. They loved their wickedness, and they loved their evil, and they spit on the Bible and spit on God and said, I don't care what God says. He knew that his brothers were that way, and that they were headed where he was. Were there any exceptions made for him? No, there was not. He's still there this very second, still in torments, still remembering, still knowing that his fate is decided, still speaking audibly, still reading distance, still able to see, still able to move his eyes, etc., etc. Was it said that they were dead? Yes. It said, and there was a beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the rich man's, or with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And then it said, and it came to pass, the beggar died. and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And then it said, the rich man also died. Does Jesus say in verse 19 and 20, there was? The Bible says, there was. Not that this is a parable, not that this is a story, not that this is a fairy tale. The Bible says, and Jesus said with his own mouth, there was a certain rich man. And then he said, and there was a certain beggar. Does Jesus ever say that this is a parable in the scriptures that we read? Never mentioned it. Does he ever lean toward it being a parable or a story, or don't let this happen, don't let this come true for you? No, he doesn't. He preaches it as an actual event. If the Bible is correct, is he still there? Yes, he is. The Bible says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And then the Lord says in other places, and these shall go away. And then in other places he said, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. If the Bible speaks so much about hell, why would Jesus speak so much about hell and it not be a real place? And him being the Son of God, wouldn't that be kind of deceiving and make Jesus Christ a liar if he said there was such a place and a place like that doesn't exist? Why would God not have a hell? I know all you lovey-dovey, warm fuzzies think that God ain't nothing but love, 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 da 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 da. But that's not what the Bible teaches. He is that. And let me tell you something. When you know the love of Christ and you're in fellowship with the Lord and walking with him, there is no better love than Christ's love. There's no such thing as love outside of Christ's love. Nobody even knows what they're talking about love, unless it's Christ's love. But when it comes to God and his judgment, and the Lord making people understand that his judgment is real, that his fatherhood is real, that his kingship is real, that his Godhead is real, is a whole nother thing. Here's some other thoughts. Is the rich man still in torments? If the Bible's correct, he is. The Bible said everlasting fire. Have others went to this place? Yes, they have. The Bible says hell hath expanded herself to receive thee at thy coming. Could this have been avoided? Absolutely. You see, brothers and sisters, praise the Lord that we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and for what he has done for us and saved us. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He did it, not us. He did it. That's why we should take this thing a lot more seriously than we do. And for all the ones that are listening that are mocking this and thinking that this is ignorant and that there's no such place as hell and everything else, blobbity, blobbity, blab, blab, blab. Could this have been avoided? You listen. The Bible teaches all through history, all the way back to creation, that God, in His mercy, has provided a way out for man every single dispensation. God has went out of His way to make sure that man does not get damned. When men get damned, they get damned because they choose to get damned, and they rebel against God. But you can't blame your damnation on the Lord, because the Lord has went over and above and out of His way to keep you from going to this place. The Lord is holy, and He's not going to have any bragging, stinking flesh in His presence. He said, no flesh is going to brag before me. No flesh is going to glory before me. Your flesh. God is everlasting. He is holy. He is God. He is life. You are the creature. You are the created. Could this have been avoided? Yes, it could have. Charles Spurgeon said one time that in hell, it's written, there's signs all over the place where you look, and said, forever, 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 forever. And I can't remember who the other one was, but said that when you get to hell, and just before you go through hell's gates, and by the way, the Lord said there are gates on hell, and just before you go through the gates of and go into hell, that it's written over there, just like in the Gulag, and whenever Hitler was killing all the Jews, and it was written over that gate that something about work being good, and the Jews would come in and they would see that. Well, written over hell is said, all who enter here abandon all hope. But could it have been avoided? Yes, it could have. Did He choose to go there? Yes, He did. Did the Lord want Him to go there? Absolutely not. The Bible says the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Is the God that was then the same God today? The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says, I am the Lord. I change not. Was the Lord merciful to tell us this? You say, what this? This history in Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through 31, what we just got through reading. It's the only place in Scripture that describes anybody or anything or any happening or anything in detail about hell. Was the Lord merciful for telling us about this? He sure was. Absolutely merciful. So you say, well, what I do now? Well, then what you do now is you make your mind up that you don't want to go to this place. Because the Bible says that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said you must be born again. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from what we just got through talking about. You say, well, I don't believe. Well, that's your problem. You don't believe. But the Bible says, but the fearful and the unbelieving shall have their place in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. So it doesn't matter whether you believe or not believe. God doesn't care whether you believe or not. He wants you to believe. He's given you every piece of evidence to believe. He wants you to make the choice to believe. He wants to save you. But he's not going to make you. He's going to let you will your own will all the way to the flames. I remember when my little 3-year-old daughter, my middle daughter, one day she was being babysitted by her great-grandmother. And I didn't know about it until afterwards, but she had a little bossiness about her, 3 years old and kind of haughty, and in a kind of a cute way, but there's nothing really cute about a child learning how to be smart aleck or haughty, but you know what I mean. Listen to what I'm talking about, though. She was quick to learn her lessons. And I said all that to say this. She was in there, and my grandma told her to do something. And she looked at grandma, and she held her fingers up and held 3 fingers up. And she said, me 3 years old, me own boss. Yeah, 3 years old. I don't know where she got that from, but she wouldn't have said that to me. She held her fingers up to grandma and said, me own boss, me 3 years old. Grandma took that newspaper and rolled it up and bopped her on the head with it and said, who's your boss now? And she said, you are. Some of y'all need a newspaper rolled up on you. Because you're resisting the Lord. And you're resisting his kindness and you're resisting his mercy. I'm talking to the lost. All you people that haven't been born again and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are taking a chance that you don't even understand. Your next breath could cause you to fall right through the window of eternity. And if the Bible's correct, the very next thing that's going to happen to you is you're going to open your eyes and you're going to be in hell. That's what the Bible says. Now, if it's wrong, it's wrong. And you're going to end up wherever you're going to end up. But let me tell you, friend, the Lord saved my soul in Ramstein, Germany, and saved me from hell. I know that in my heart. I know that. And I'm telling you from a testimony and a witness that hell is real. I've never been there, but I know that I've been saved from it. Have you? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have to realize and recognize that you're a sinner. Not because of what you have done, but because of what you are. You're a sinner. Jesus said that we're evil, and we are. Paul said there's no good thing in the flesh, and there's not. There's part of you that holds your fist up to God and tells God where he can get off. But the Bible says that God had mercy on you, and that he sent his son to come down here to this earth to be born of a virgin. And he lived 33 and a half years on this earth, and he went to the cross of Calvary on purpose, the Son of God. He let them and laid his life down and let them crucify him and kill him. He bled and shed his blood for the remission of your sins so that you could be forgiven on purpose, an innocent man that never sinned, not once. They took him down off of that cross, put his body in the tomb, and buried him. 3 days and three nights later, he resurrected from the dead and had a new body, brand new body, and he ascended 40 days later and went to, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. And then he had those fellows that was walking around with him for 3.5 years that he taught to write those, to get those words, to speak those words, and for people to write those words down for him. Or write the words down that he spoke. And that's what you have right now, in spite of all the smart people that think we don't have the Word of God. They're liars. Yes, we do. I have it sitting right here in front of me. The very words of the living God. In English, not in Greek and Hebrew. I don't speak that language. Besides that, Greek is a dead language. You couldn't find anything out from that if you wanted to. You speak English, God speaks English too. He's the one that made it and developed it. But the Lord died for you, and He died for your sins. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish. What have we been talking about today? Perishing. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. That means once He gives it to you, you got it forever. You're either lost or you're either saved. There's no in between, no matter what the Catholics say. There's no in between. There's no purgatory. There's no in between. There's no working your way or being good enough. You're not good enough. Jesus Christ died for you so that when you receive Jesus Christ and believe on Him and believe what the Bible says, he that heareth my words and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, God will never, ever, ever condemn you again. I don't know about you, but I love that. And I didn't have no problem receiving it. I knew I never seen hell. I never smelled hell. I never felt the heat of hell. But I knew in my heart that there was a God, and I knew that God had a hell, and I knew that God had the power to put me in hell. I didn't get saved because of everything that I knew about heaven. I got saved because of everything that I knew about hell. And if you say, well, you just got saved because you're scared. Well, what's wrong with that? Are you stupid? You run from dogs that you think are going to bite you? Are you stupid from running from him? Just stand there and let him come up and bite you? You stand back from the edge of the Grand Canyon because you're scared? Hell is something to be scared of. But even more than that is the God that has the power to put you in there. The Lord Jesus Christ said out of his own mouth, he said, I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. But the Lord said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I hope that you'll be willing to do that. That you'd bow your head as soon as this message is over, and there's nothing fancy, no special words you gotta say. All you gotta do is be sincere and honest and be talking to the Lord with every way that you know how to talk to the Lord, and just bow your head and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus Christ, I believe, I heard the Word of God. Brother TV just told it to me. I've heard it and I believe it. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins and I want to be saved. And ask the Lord to save you and confess the Lord Jesus Christ to him. Say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he came and died for my sins. Just like the Bible says. And the Lord promises that if you'll do that, that he'll save you. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's it. I hope that you'll do that today. We're going to talk some more about hell. Today, just wanted to get through this right here, the Scripture in Luke chapter 16, where we talked about what the Lord had to say about it. I don't know how anybody can not believe in hell and see all the stupid, ignorant, wicked stuff that's going on this planet. And how things are waxing worse and worse and worse, just like the Lord said. Any man that doesn't prepare for eternity is a fool. This is not a very popular subject, but it is a real subject that needs real decisions. And let me tell you something. All the people that are in eternity that did not go to hell are not sorry for making that choice. None of them. As a matter of fact, they're up there praising the Lord right this very second because of his mercy. And because and there's people still on this earth right now, the body of Christ, that are walking around trying to get everybody else to listen to what God says, that are saved and appreciate it and love the Lord and thank him for what he has done. The Lord will save you if you'll ask. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I hope that you'll, when we stop this video, this audio, that you will have enough courage to ask the Lord to save you. I mean, all you can do is try and see what happens. The Lord saved me. I've been saved over 30 years. I've not been perfect in that time, but the Lord has never, ever left me. And I know that for a fact, and I testify that to you right this very second. Praise the Lord. All right, well, we're going to stop right there. We're going to talk some more about is hell a real place. I believe we've already established that. But we're going to talk about some descriptions of hell and what the Bible says about describing hell and how the Bible describes hell. And we're going to also talk about who hell was prepared for and who will go there. And we'll also talk about what the Lord Jesus Christ warned about hell and damnation. Okay? We'll do that on the next recording. And I thank you for listening to this. And like I said, if you'll call upon the Lord's name, he'll save you. He is a God of his word. And everything that Jesus Christ did was so that you could be born again in the most simplest manner possible, and that is with Christ's righteousness and him, God, giving it to you as a gift just because you ask him for it. So would you do that? Would you just ask the Lord to save you? You better. I hope you do. It's Brother Thurman. I'll talk to you on the next recording. Bye-bye.